Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see
somebody. Produced at the studios of KBOO Radio in Portland, Oregon, this is Prison Pipeline. I'm Doug McVeigh. Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal legal system, addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration. We seek to promote awareness and activism in order to foster a safe, healthy, and just society. On this edition of Prison Pipeline, Unmasking ICE. Our nation is under siege by gangs of heavily armed goons, identities concealed by masks, assaulting and killing innocent people with impunity. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, America's Gestapo, whatever you call them, the anonymity with which they're allowed to operate makes it easier and much more likely for abuses to take place. Resistance to this federal assault on civil rights and human dignity is mounting throughout the country, and legislators in several states are paying attention and stepping up. Let's start with a look at California. On September 20, 2025, California Senate Bill 627, the No Secret Police Act, was signed into law by Governor Gavin Newsom. The measure basically made it a crime for law enforcement officers to wear facial coverings in the performance of their duties, with a number of exceptions, of course. The Trump administration filed suit in federal court to block the No Secret Police Act from going into effect. I know you're all really shocked by that. And a temporary injunction was granted that lasts until February 19th. On February 9th, U.S. District Court Judge Christina Snyder ruled that the law as written fails constitutional muster because it applies only to local and federal agencies and specifically excludes state police. That's discrimination, according to the court. So on February 9th, California State Senator Scott Wiener, who had been lead sponsor on SB 627, the No Secret Police Act, filed a new bill, SB 1004, to amend the law and bring it into compliance. Senator Wiener is also a lead sponsor of Senate Bill 747, the No Kings Act. That measure provides a cause of action for violations of one's constitutional rights by government officials. Tell you what, here's Senator Wiener on the floor of the Senate January 27th. He's followed by Senator Lena Gonzalez.
Thank you very much, Madam President. And colleagues, I rise today to present Senate Bill 747, the No Kings Act, because even though Donald Trump thinks he is the king, he is not. This bill stands for the basic proposition that no one is above the law, that the rule of law still exists in this country, even under this brutal fascist authoritarian regime. Even as Donald Trump and Kristi Noem and Stephen Miller and Pam Bondi and Greg Bovino do everything in their power to create a police terror state, the rule of law still exists. California is not going to let these thugs get away with it. We're not going to let them overrun our communities just because they think they can. They can't. The No Kings Act stands for the very, very basic proposition that if you shoot someone's mother in the face, if you publicly execute an ICU nurse, if you kidnap a small child and hold him hostage to try to get to the parents, if you shoot people in the eyes with rubber bullets and blind them, you're accountable. You're not above the law, and we're going to make you accountable. Without accountability, there is no rule of law. SB 747 is simple and straightforward. It creates a pathway for Californians to be able to sue any official, federal, state, or local, who violates their rights under the United States Constitution. Under current law, if a local or state officer shoots your mom in the face or publicly executes an ICU nurse, you can sue. That's longstanding civil rights law. But under current law, it's almost impossible to file that same lawsuit against a federal agent who does the exact same thing. That is both unfair and deeply harmful. And I want to be clear, it hurts local law enforcement because it creates this air of chaos and impunity that makes it harder for local law enforcement to do their jobs. Colleagues, the behavior we've seen from this federal government over the last year is nothing short of horrific. We saw this past weekend when Border Patrol agents publicly executed Alex Preddy, an ICU nurse who was simply filming and assisting a protester. The Trump administration immediately lied and branded him a quote-unquote domestic terrorist and lied that he was brandishing a gun at agents when he was doing no such thing. 2 weeks before that, ICE agents shot Renee Nicole Good, mother of three, in the face. Boom, right in the face. And this administration immediately announced that they're not even going to investigate that murder. Imagine that. A law enforcement officer shoots someone in the face and there's not even an investigation. That is the level of impunity and lawlessness that has infected this administration and that it is inflicting on this country. Just last week, ICE kidnapped 5-year-old Liam Conejo Ramos and literally held him hostage to try to get his parents to come out. Liam, as far as we know, is now being held in a detention center over 1,300 miles from home, a 5-year-old child. ICE agents recently shot and blinded two people in Orange County, Caden Rumler and Britton Rodriguez, who were simply exercising their constitutional right to protest. They are blind from these rubber bullets. Last summer, ICE agents tear gassed and pepper sprayed George Redis, who was up here to testify for this bill last week. He's a US citizen, a combat veteran. They stopped his car for no reason, bashed the windows out, dragged him out, pepper sprayed him, held him down, held him for 3 days for no reason. This is a California resident. ICE is now also directing its untrained agents that they can enter anyone's home without a judicial warrant, a blatant violation of the Fourth Amendment, and that's what they're being directed. Just yesterday, we learned that since last July, there have been at least 2,300 cases in which federal judges have ruled that ICE officials illegally detained people without bond, without due process. And again, total impunity. It's going to be so hard and potentially impossible for the families of Renee Good and Alex Preddy to obtain compensation. Almost impossible for George Redis and Caden Rumler and Britton Rodriguez and Liam Ramos to obtain compensation for these blatant violations of their rights. Because the Supreme Court a few years ago destroyed the ability of individuals to sue federal agents for civil rights violations, and the Federal Tort Claims Act is almost borderline impossible to use to get compensation against law enforcement. SB 747, the No Kings Act, puts a stop to this impunity. It makes clear that all law enforcement, state, local, federal, everyone is going to be subject to the U.S. Constitution, that we're no longer going to allow our local and state law enforcement to be sued when they violate the law, but make the feds completely exempt from that. That has to stop, and it will stop with the passage of SB 747. If the federal government won't hold these agents accountable for violating the Constitution, we will. I respectfully ask for an aye vote.
Thank you. Senator Gonzalez, you are recognized.
Thank you, Madam President and members. I rise today as a co-author and strong supporter of SB 747 by my colleague from San Francisco. This bill takes in a really important step, as you mentioned, in ensuring that federal officials or those that are unidentified, quite frankly, are held to the same standards as local and state officials and can be sued for constitutional violations. Just in my district of Long Beach in Southeast LA, it has been so traumatic. We have been significantly impacted by the atrocious actions of this federal government. My constituents live in fear every single day. Just last week, about a few blocks from my own home, agents abducted two men in Long Beach working in our community as landscapers. Multiple unmarked vehicles blocked traffic and masked armed agents. Excuse me. It's very emotional. Violently detained these individuals in front of families and for no other reason than their occupation and the color of their skin. It's violent. Another constituent in Commerce in my district was dragged off the street into an unmarked black SUV by masked agents just last week, kidnapped, disappeared. Border Patrol agents used plastic explosives to blow off the front door of a family home in Huntington Park, narrowly missing a mother and her children. Individuals engaging in their constitutional right to protest have been permanently blinded, have been maimed and lost fingers, and have been gassed with impunity. We have due process in this country for a reason. We cannot and will cannot let this continue. The Roaming Anonymous Federal Agents Act with impunity. Not only was it Renee Good and Alex Preddy, which were so horrible to see in Minneapolis, Keith Porter, Hebert Sanchez Dominguez, Victor Manuel Diaz, Para Dila, Luis Beltran Yanez Cruz, Luis Gustavo Nunez Caceres, Geraldo Lunas Campos, and I'm sure there will be more that we don't even know about. They deserved better than a federal government willing to recklessly sue and weaponize words like domestic terrorist or calling them a flight risk, which we know is not true. I personally wrote letters to ensure that many of these individuals have due process, and the Latino caucus has been so very pointed in ensuring that we are writing amicus briefs to support our United Farm Workers, one of which was filed last year to stop the tear gassing of farm worker children. All of this against our constitutional rights. And on top of it all, we continue to see not just these constitutional rights being violated, but then the audacity for this federal government to come after our communities and inquire and investigate their own families. This is wrong. I don't know how anyone can defend this. The violence in our communities must stop. SB 747 must be supported, regardless of how many are opposing. And we will do everything in our power. In fact, just the other day as well, the amicus brief by our own Governor Gavin Newsom filed against Donald Trump, President Trump, with support of this Senate and with many, many accounts from many Senate staffers, accounting of constituents being grabbed off the streets, being kidnapped, being handcuffed, and being thrown to the ground. These were from our own staff who are traumatized right now. It is emotional every single day to come to work, and this is why I support unequivocally. Thank you.
That was California State Senator Elena Gonzalez. She was preceded by Senator Scott Wiener. They were speaking on the floor of the California Senate January 27th on Senate Bill 747, the No Kings Act. SB 747 was approved by the Senate on a vote of 30-10. It's been sent to the Assembly, where it sits currently on the desk of the Speaker. You're listening to Prison Pipeline. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. From California, we'll skip over my home state of Oregon for now and go farther north to Washington State, where legislators are considering Senate Bill 5855 concerning the use of face coverings by law enforcement officers. That bill was approved January 28th by the full Senate and has been sent to the House for consideration. The Washington State Senate's Law and Justice Committee held a public hearing on SB 5855 on January 13th. Here's Maya Ita, staff counsel to the committee. She's followed by the lead sponsor of SB 5855, Washington Senator Javier Valdez.
Good morning. For the record, Maya Ita, staff counsel to this committee. Before you is Senate Bill 5855 concerning face coverings by law enforcement officers. To give some background, right now there is no law preventing law enforcement officers from wearing face coverings while carrying out their duties. But there are laws around officer identification. Under federal law, any member of law enforcement responding to a civil disturbance has to visibly display their name or another identifier and the name of their employer. Under Washington law, local and state law enforcement agencies have to adopt policies and procedures to make sure on-duty, uniformed state and local officers are reasonably identifiable, meaning the uniforms clearly show their names or other information people can use to identify them. This bill prohibits local, state, and federal law enforcement officers from wearing facial coverings while interacting with the public. This bill defines a law enforcement officer as any peace officer, which is a local or state officer, or any employee or agent of the United States government with the authority to carry firearms and to make warrantless arrests, and whose duties involve the enforcement of criminal customs or immigration laws of the United States. The bill defines a facial covering as any opaque mask, garment, or other item that conceals or obscures a person's facial identity, and it excludes the following from the definition: clear masks, N95 masks, and surgical masks that protect against disease transmission, masks or other devices that are necessary to protect against exposure to hazardous environmental conditions, and helmets used to protect the wearer's heads during transportation on a bicycle or motorized vehicle. The prohibition on facial coverings doesn't apply to officers performing their duties during an active undercover operation or to officers using protective gear on a SWAT team. The bill allows a person detained by an unlawfully masked local or state officer to sue that officer in their official capacity, so officers do have qualified immunity. A fiscal note has been requested and not yet received, and that concludes my remarks.
Thank you so much, Maya. Do any of the committee members have any questions for staff? Senator Fortunato.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So if this specifically doesn't mention riot gear, in other words, if you're on a SWAT team and you have a protective helmet with a face shield, that's covered. But if you're in a riot situation and wearing riot gear, that is not?
One moment. I'm actually going to reference the bill really quickly. So I'm looking at Section 4, Subsection B, and it mentions protective gear used by special weapons and tactics teams, special weapons and tactics team officers that are necessary to protect their faces from harm while performing their special weapons and tactics team responsibilities. I'd have to do a little bit of research to determine whether that does include riot gear, and I'm happy to do that.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, Senator Torres.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a quick question for you. I'm trying to distinguish between if they're a federal employee, can the state sue? Because you mentioned about suing in there.
The bill...
What is the law's conflict there?
Mm-hmm. Apologies. The bill does provide for a private cause of action, so it wouldn't be the state suing. It would be an individual who's been detained by a local or state officer.
Any other questions? Okay. Thank you so much, Maya. Oh, Senator Fortunato.
Thank you. Slight follow-up. Isn't that the case now? In other words, if you are harmed, if a police officer arrests me and uses excessive force, don't I have the private right of action now?
What the bill addresses is not excessive use of force. It addresses the fact of masking. So if somebody is detained by an officer who is unlawfully masked, then there's a private cause of action.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Senator Valdez, would you please like to tell us about your bill?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and good morning. And thank you, Maya, for that very thorough briefing. For the record, Javier Valdez from the 46th Legislative District. Again, thank you, Chair Dingra, and thank you, Ranking Member Holley, and Vice Chair Trudeau, and my fellow members here in the Law and Justice Committee. This bill is fairly straightforward. It prohibits law enforcement officers, federal agents, and immigration enforcement officers from wearing identity-concealing face coverings during public interactions and when performing their duties. Obviously, I think we're all aware of incidents that started occurring last year where we started seeing law enforcement officers throughout the country where they were bringing intimidation tactics and causing fear in neighborhoods, in our families, and our communities. The first known incident that I'm aware of here in Washington State occurred in Bellingham last summer, where an individual was detained by federal law enforcement in an unmarked car by masked agents on his way to a doctor's appointment. The law enforcement officials refused to show him a required warrant, which the individual asked for. They did not provide it or would not show it. And the law enforcement officials then broke his car window and forcibly removed him from his car. Just last week in my own district, in the 46th district, three individuals were detained by ICE officers, all hiding behind a shielded mask in my own district in Northeast Seattle. Senate Bill 5855 closes a major gap in current law that still allows officers to hide their identities during stops, detentions, you know, arrests, patrols, and other public-facing interactions. So Senate Bill 5855 will help build that trust with, continue to help build trust with our law enforcement. It really will go a long way. I believe it'll make our marginalized and immigrant communities feel safer, especially as we again know about all the things that are happening throughout our country, throughout our state, in our neighborhoods, and incidents that are occurring every day. As Maya talked about, Senate Bill 5855 also makes it clear when masks or facial coverings can be used, such as, you know, N95 surgical mask, or when there's environmental hazards, or when they're, like, for example, on their motorcycle. I do want to thank some of the law enforcement stakeholders. I met with them back in December when I first had the very first draft of the bill, and talked to them about it, and they did provide some suggestions, and so you will see some of their suggestions incorporated into this bill, and then this bill right now that you're hearing. I want to thank them for meeting with me and providing their feedback. As this bill moves forward, I do want to thank all the stakeholders who have met with me throughout the last several months. And again, this is really for me about building trust between our public and our law enforcement officials. And thank you, Madam Chair. Happy to take any questions.
Okay, Senator Holey, very quickly, so we can get to our public hearing.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll make this short. No time frames here. Senator Javier, as prime sponsor of this, I understand exactly what you're trying to do, noble cause. What you're doing is fairly linear. It's direct. It's on point. But it appears that this legislation is probably modeled by California, Senate Bill 627. Just guessing. And Department of Justice filed a complaint against this California law, and this hasn't resolved, hasn't gone through the process yet. We actually don't have a holding. So, and I could go through a litany of all the issues that they're addressing that the argument is. However, let me just come to a conclusion and say that I'm not sure that this is ready for prime time until the issue actually is resolved in California. If we're going to pass legislation that's going to address something that's an analog to that which is in the middle of litigation in California, could be jumping the horse just a little bit here. I would suggest maybe we would hold off and wait till that's resolved.
That was Washington State Senator Javier Valdez testifying January 13th before the Senate Law and Justice Committee on SB 5855 concerning the use of face coverings by law enforcement officers, of which he's lead sponsor. Before him in that segment, you also heard Maya Ita, staff counsel to the Washington State Senate's Law and Justice Committee. SB 5855 was approved by the committee January 15th. Then on January 28th, it passed the Senate on a vote of 30-19. SB 5855 has been sent to the House for consideration. It was referred to the House Committee on Community Safety and is currently scheduled for a public hearing on February 18th. You're listening to Prison Pipeline. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. And finally, to my home state of Oregon. The Oregon legislature is currently in its short session. The state has a part-time legislature, which means it's only in session for a limited time. In even-numbered years, like this one, the legislators are only officially in session for 35 days. This year's session started February 2nd. The Oregon legislature has two measures this session on law enforcement masking. On the House side, there's HB 4138, with the catchy and kind of ambiguous title, Relating to Limitations on the Actions of Public Employees. The summary's a bit more succinct, requires law enforcement agencies to enact policies concerning identifying information on law enforcement uniforms. The lead sponsor for HB 4138 is Representative Farah Chaichi. Here's Representative Chaichi testifying February 4th before the House Committee on Judiciary.
Chair Krupp, Vice Chairs Chotzen and Wallen, and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Farah Chaichi, and I have the privilege of representing House District 35, which is one of the most diverse districts in the state, Beaverton and Alloa. I'm here today to speak on behalf of HB 4138, the Law Enforcement Accountability and Visibility Act. Colleagues, we're being called on by vulnerable members of our community to do something to protect them. We must respond meaningfully by passing legislation that creates a firewall between rogue federal agencies and scared Oregonians. That's what this bill, LEVA, does. I'll keep my comments brief because in this moment we need to prioritize the voices of experts, including those with lived experiences who are in fear of ICE. Right now, masked agents are terrorizing immigrant communities with impunity. Federal agents are obscuring their identity and refusing to identify under whose authority they are acting when they rip people from their cars, lurk outside of schools and workplaces, and kidnap folks off the street. LEVA would require that all law enforcement agencies operating in Oregon have clear identification, both of individual badge numbers or names and jurisdictions, a standard that many local police agencies already follow. In addition to identification requirements, LEVA also strengthens the protections set forward by Oregon Sanctuary Promise by mandating that public bodies who receive requests for information or data from law enforcement agencies may not turn over that information without legitimate cause and assurance that the information shared will not be used to violate the rights of individuals. This is critical, not just in establishing protections for our immigrant neighbors, but also for any Oregonian engaging in protected actions that are being targeted by the federal government. There is a long and grim history of state agencies being weaponized by the federal government to target activists, community organizers, and marginalized people. This bill would establish a firewall and additional checks to ensure that Oregon, our local law enforcement agencies, and public bodies are not unintentionally contributing to the targeting and terrorizing of vulnerable people. LEVA establishes a pathway to injunctive relief to ensure that community members are protected against violations of their constitutional rights by the federal government. It is imperative that we rebuild the broken trust between community members and their government. My team and I have worked tirelessly to collaborate with advocates, community partners, local law enforcement, local agencies, jurisdictions, to craft a bill that meaningfully responds to the moment we're in while honoring the work already being done by these agencies to promote trust and cooperation in the community. I really want to thank everyone for their helpful and constructive and meaningful feedback on this. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative.
That was Oregon State Representative Farah Chaichi testifying February 4th before the House Committee on Judiciary in support of House Bill 4138 concerning identifying information on law enforcement uniforms. The committee has HB 4138 scheduled currently for its work session on Monday, February 16th. Give them credit, they're meeting on a federal holiday. And this is being recorded before that work session takes place. If they approve it, the bill would presumably go to the House floor. Several other states are considering similar measures. We'll talk about those in an upcoming show, but for now, that's it. You've been listening to Prison Pipeline. I've been your host, Doug McVeigh. Prison Pipeline is a volunteer production for community radio and syndicated via the Pacifica Foundation Radio Network's audio port service. We need community radio now more than ever, so please support your local public media and community radio outlets. Become members. Become volunteers. Join us again next week for another edition of Prison Pipeline. For now, this is Doug McVeigh saying so long.
So long.